Got it.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are tuning in, think that you're going to get cut the promo. This is Icon and Granny Hulkster, and we're still taking this thing over. The last time I was on was with Deb Gardner, and we took over the show, and I'm continuing just because I can. And Granny, say hello to our fans out there. We're taking over this show, too, just like we've taken over Attitude Era Live.
Well, hello, everybody, and I'm glad to be here and glad to be a part of this amazing show tonight. And yeah, Icon, looks like we're in charge. I mean,
yeah, the Icon plans to take over every single wrestling podcast from here to the sedan, and there ain't nothing anybody can do about it.
Wow.
If Jordan doesn't like it, if Big Swing doesn't like it, if Eric Bischoff doesn't like it, I'm here, and I ain't going anywhere.
Hey, what is going on? What are you guys on right now? You guys could take over a podcast by putting on a frickin' 40-year-old porn star and talk about a fucking hamburger? Are you fucking kidding me? We're here to talk about professional wrestling. We're here to talk about the number one thing that people talk about today, and that is wrestling news. We're here as a cohesive unit. We're not here to put on some broad. We're here to make headlines. We're here to create general attention from across the world. And you know who the guy to do that is? It's none other than me. Because I bring the best guests on this show each and every week, and I've interviewed some of the best wrestlers in this industry. I've also got to work with some of the best wrestlers in this industry.
Whoa.
As an aspiring referee. I have the experience, and I put that into a podcast, and I make it a 5-star show each and every time. Well, you guys made it a 1-star show. That's
well, you know, that,
and
that
I
may
wanna
be the case, but having a porn star on was your biggest rated show ever. That's why you never came back until now.
All my ratings combined are literally gold.
Well,
my
hey, you know, guys,
numbers,
I mean, well, first of all, Grant Holster, I mean, you know, I'm not no porn star, and I don't want to be a porn star, but I am a huge wrestling fan, guys, as everybody knows. Anybody that knows Granny Hulkster knows that I am a diehard, true wrestling fan. And
I, Jordan Garber, interviewed some of the best professional wrestlers in the industry, and on. Without further ado, I don't want to talk about Gardner, gardening, Deb Gardner, hamburgers, and machetes and stupid shit. I want to talk to the best of the business, and I want to talk to some of the best on the one of the best wrestlers on the independent scene right now, Fox Vineyard. How you doing, sir? Great to have you on.
It's the kaleidoscope of chaos, the sickest MC in pro wrestling. Firework Fox Vineyard. I'm doing all right, just driving from a show where I whooped some ass, and yeah.
See that?
Well,
see
hey,
that? We hear that Fox Vineyard's getting booked. Is Icon getting booked? No, we'll go on.
Nope.
We're going with our interview then.
So, well, the Icon is then getting booked because they can't afford him.
He's highly rated, you know. He's something else. I'll tell you that. What can you do? What can you do? So, my first question is, you have a very unique character. You have a very unique repertoire. And when I worked with Bruce Hart back in 2014, he always told me that it's always good to have a character that stands out, and your character describes that. So kind of describe the storyline process of how Fox Vineyard became Fox Vineyard.
Well, I try to stand out rather than fit in. You know, firework is a definition. It's violent and vibrant, man. Like, you see a firework in the sky, it's like, hey, that's pretty, but toy with it the wrong way, you might fuck yourself up. Or like maybe a tree frog in the woods. Oh, that's super bright colors. That means stay away. Like, super bright colors, stay away, or I will beat you and win a title.
Awesome. Icon, go ahead and follow up some questions.
Well, it's nice to meet you. And it's really cool. It's really cool that you're on the show here, And I'm kind of curious with your career, what would you say has been your biggest accomplishment to date? Besides meeting me.
I would have to say being a part of the 2016 Ring of Honor Top Prospect Tournament. That was pretty dope for me. The largest prospect tournament in Ring of Honor history. I was also the first person out of the curtain in 2016 that any ROH fan saw. So either thank you or I'm sorry.
One or the other.
That's pretty
Hulk
cool.
What do you got for us, Hulkster?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. What has been your most, I'm going to say, challenging match you've ever been a part of?
My most challenging match, as in what? Like the opponent is bigger than me, stronger than me, or?
Well, yeah, just in general. I mean, your most challenging, most difficult match you've ever been a part of.
One of my favorite matches I've done was against Punishment Martinez, or I say Damien, I forget what he's called, Damien Priest. I think they changed his name to that. That was pretty hard hitting. That was in 2017, July. He's a big guy.
Wow, that's amazing.
But you're still a better wrestler than he is, right?
Yes, correct. 100% correct. I hope you're listening, Punishment. I'm coming for you.
What would you say, Fox, like out of all the wrestlers you worked, one of them that kind of stands out as someone that taught you a lot along the way, like who kind of like guided you a lot through certain matches and kind of made you comfortable with the flow of things?
Believe it or not, I first wrestled Tommy Dreamer in my hometown in like 2015 maybe. And
oh, right on.
We were just going over and like, you know, about to get in there, and then he put a ring bell on my crotch and hit it with a hammer. But I learned a lot from Tommy. I did train with him for a little bit. Hey Tommy, if you're listening, put me on. Woohoo. But yeah, I guess
that's where the term got him in the ding dings comes from.
Funny.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract from what you were saying. But did he get disqualified for that? He should have. Or was
no,
referee back
Tommy
there?
Dreamer. So it's ECW rule.
Well, you know, Granny has you know,
Granny,
you know,
Granny Hulkster has a history with.
I have met Tommy Dreamer on several occasions. And let me tell you, in Fort Smith, Arkansas, Traditional Championship Wrestling, it was the last show they did. It was called Last Stand. And I was getting ready to have my first knee replacement. And so I happened to walk with a cane. Tommy Dreamer grabbed my cane out of my hand. And this was on a TV taping. Took my cane and used it on Matt Riviera. And they're like, oh, my God, he's got Granny Hulkster's cane. And the other commentator, Brian Thompson, says, Granny, what do you think you're doing? This isn't Fans Bring Your Own Weapons match. Well, I'm sorry, guys. Tommy Dreamer takes my cane out of my hand. I'm certainly not going to stop him from using that on whatever he wants to do with it. And then he swung it around. He looked like he broke it. And then he came back and tucked the handle under Matt's tights and pulled it up and made him hop like a bunny rabbit. And then handed me back my cane and said, Granny, you might want to sanitize this. It's kind of stinky. So, yeah.
I did.
I still have this cane. I still have that cane today. I still have that cane that he used on Matt Riviera. And that was... it'll be 6 years in this November that they quit running. So it was 2013.
I took a cane from a lady in the crowd and hit Sandman. Does that count?
No, oh, wow.
And then he hit
me
with his
I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
I have a history of Sandman myself. He was in my hometown about 2 months ago now, in March, and he likes to come up to the podium, you know, smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer or two or three or four, and I had asked him if Paul Heyman's word was better than the checks that he used to write. And I got an adverse response from the crowd, and I thought Sandman was going to teach me a lesson for asking him that, but he answered the question. He said, well, let's just move on to the next question.
Yeah, lucky
but Sandman's really cool. Yeah, I did.
So you have a choice between Mexico, Japan, or anywhere in Europe. Where would you go out of those three, and why?
I was told once that I would do fairly well in Japan based on how ridiculous I look. So
how ridiculous
you
looked? Were they being mean to you when they said that? That's not nice to say to you.
No, it was like a term of endearment. Like, hey man, you look ridiculous. Japan would love you. And I said, maybe. So I would choose Japan. Although I almost got the wrestle in Ireland in January for Over the Top, which would have been sweet, but circumstances did not allow it. But I'll go with Japan.
The cool thing is, if you were to wrestle in Japan, they take wrestling very, very seriously over there. The word kayfabe is definitely a big word over there. They take their wrestling very seriously, and it's not any of this cornball stuff that the WWE has been insulting our intelligence with here for the last, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 years? We thought that they were on the right track, but they continue to insult the fans' intelligence, which is why this new wrestling organization, what is it, Elite Wrestling, is just going to steamroll them with all they got.
Oh, it's all Elite Wrestling.
WWE doesn't have any good ideas.
His call recently dropped, probably because of reception. We'll try to get him back in. LA is coming back in now, so let's get him back on the switchboard here. All right, sorry about that. You're back on the air. So, yeah.
Am I here? Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes,
yeah,
I can hear you.
Yeah, what was the last thing that you heard?
And then you cut off.
Well, that's the way I normally talk, so I'll have to go back to that. But, no, what I was saying,
I think I left off at Japan, and then I got cut off.
Okay, well, the thing is, over in Japan, they take wrestling very seriously over there, more seriously than they do here, which is why the WWE would make it over there, and the WWE continues to insult our intelligence. That's why this new wrestling organization that was just launched last night is eventually over going to take them, because all the good stars are going over there because they can get more respect there, and they can put on a better product.
Yeah, I mean, any alternative or any – having options makes everything better. Because there's only one place to go, then there's a line out the door, and some people may never get the shot, i.e. me.
Awesome. Now, Fox, I wanted to say thank you for taking the time out of your day to be on the program today. Before I let you go, is there anything you want to plug to us, or unplug to the world, that is?
Yeah, you can follow me on the Instagram or Twitter, both at Fox Vineyard. You can catch me, I believe it's going to be this Friday, on Impact Wrestling Television. If you want to see me live and in action, if you're around the New England area or anything, You can find all my events on Instagram, Facebook, everything. Just Google Fox Vineyard, and you will find me. Swipe right on Fox.
Awesome.
Woo-hoo.
Awesome. Well, Fox, thank you so much for being on Cut the Promo Podcast. We'll get you on again soon.
Thank you, and enjoy the day. Go see Endgame.
Hey, you're awesome, man. Thank you. It was nice meeting you.
So, yeah, absolutely. It's great to have Fox Vineyard on. We're going to get right into our next interview here. We have none other, and like I was saying, Icon, I interview some of the best in professional wrestling, and this guy is one of the best deathmatch wrestlers of all time. He is a multi-time CZW champion. It's more than a pleasure to bring Matt Tremont on the phone. How you doing today, sir? Honor to have you on. Thanks for being on again. Hello,
or
are
not.
You there?
I don't know. I think he's currently called. We have a 918 area code. So we're going to try to get him back on here, and we'll go from there. He still shows
hey, Jordan,
that he's connected.
You know,
so go on with what we're going to talk about, actually. So go from there.
Well, Jordan, real quick here. You know, I do want to appreciate you allowing me to attempt to take over your show again. But the main thing is I still want us to be good friends after all this. And no hard feelings, right?
No hard feelings, sir. Not at all. You know, you guys try to do what's best for the show and do what's best for business. And that's something we can agree to disagree with, so to say. So, absolutely. You know, you guys, I'm sure I can forgive you guys. But don't talk about cheeseburgers next time. Because I love cheeseburgers.
Right.
And
you,
every time
you
guys do, I want to go to Five Guys.
Yeah, and if you'd allow me to... if I could pitch my show just one time.
Hey, go ahead.
Monday nights, tomorrow night, we have a big show on Attitude Era Live. It is on from 9 p.m. Central to 11 p.m. Central. And we have Byron Sherry, who was Coy Duke on the Dukes of Hazzard. We have David Benoit.
Right on. And I do apologize for interrupting,
old.
Icon, but we actually have Matt on the line now. And yet we'll give you the time to plug your show.
I got
no further ado. But like I was saying, we have Matt Tremont on the line here. Like I was saying, one of the best in deathmatch wrestling, so it's great to have him on. Matt, how you doing this evening?
Hey, this ain't Matt. This is the Pretty Boy Doug Masters. I was trying to call in and talk on this show. Icon, you there,
Doug,
Matt?
You're a 90s legend. I want to surprise
you.
We have Doug Masters on the program.
Hey, this is my head doing
Granny.
Hey, Granny, how you doing, baby? Doing all right?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Hey, you know, I'm hanging in there. Can you consider it all? I gotta go back in for surgery Wednesday on this ankle situation I got going. And praying to God. Yeah, praying to God we don't get flooded, you know, here in Oklahoma. We got everything happening down here, you know. But other than that, hey, the Pretty Boy's doing good. Rocking and rolling on my show every Friday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And just thought I'd call in and say hi to you guys and see what was going on. You're at neck of the woods.
Hey, Jordan, this is our buddy, the Pretty Boy Doug Masters. The man with
I know
the golden... Yeah, the man with the golden hairbrush. Maybe you could ask him a few questions while waiting for our other guests.
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, Doug, like I said, you know, your career, you definitely have a very interesting career, especially USWA. You know, always watching old school 90s wrestling. It's always been great. So it's great having you join the panel tonight. I'm more than happy to ask you some questions. I'm going to bring Matt Tremont on the line now. I believe this is him. And then we can all, as a roundtable, ask him some questions. And Doug,
cool.
Thanks for your expertise and experience. It's going to be great to add you to the panel. So,
thank you.
Am I speaking with Matt? Hello, is this Matt?
Yeah.
All right. I don't see this. Okay, so Matt Tremont. Am I speaking with Matt Tremont?
Okay. I believe that wasn't him. So, Doug, let's go on with about USWA here. You know, awesome. Just wrestling for that, being a part of the prime in wrestling in the 90s obviously was heavily followed. How was it like being on those TV tapings and just, you know, getting to work each and every week?
Oh, you know what? TV tapings were awesome. You know, most of the time, to be honest with you, I've been asked this question before. How many, you know, it was 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. We'd been doing a spot show the night before. And for the USWA, it was just it was brutal road trips. You know, it was 2 hours one way every night, you know. And it was funny that all the energy we still had to go in there and do TV tapings on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock was just phenomenal. You know, people were thinking, you know, did you get some sleep? Most of the time we did, you know. We'd do a spot show out in Mississippi or somewhere back in Arkansas maybe the night before, then have to be back in Memphis that morning. The TV taping is there at the studio, Channel 8 there, downtown Memphis. And then it's just phenomenal, the energy we got. But that's one thing about being on TV, you know. TV just kind of, it's like having a Kickstarter in you without coffee or whatever, no pun intended. And it was just, the energy was so awesome. And being on TV, knowing that on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock, that aired right that morning, that we would promote our show for Monday night there at the Mid-South Coliseum. We knew all the angles, you know, for what was going to run on Monday night. But, yeah, TV was great. Working every week was awesome. And I had Jerry Jarrett on my show here about a month ago, and I was telling him if he remembered about the time that a bunch of us come to the office to get our checks that week. We was asking if we could get paid mileage because the brutal road trips, you know. I mean, it was Monday night in Memphis, Tuesday Louisville, Kentucky, Wednesday Evansville, Indiana, and Thursday, Friday a spot show. And we'd just stay over that night because we had been back in Memphis, Memphis Monday morning, 8 o'clock, and then back in Nashville that evening at 6 o'clock at the fairgrounds. And Sunday we had a day off, finally, if we had a day off. Get back to your question, yes, it was awesome working every week in USWA. It was a great training territory for myself and a lot of other up-and-coming stars that went through there. I think everybody who's been through Memphis that's been anywhere in this great business of ours.
You know, anyone that goes to Memphis, it's always important to, you know, just shut up and listen, as a lot of vets would say to me, obviously. Transitioning, and Icon, I do apologize for cutting you off, but I do want to get this in here. Transitioning now from that to Puerto Rico, how did that go for you? How was that transition?
Oh, you know what? It's ironic you might ask that. The transition was a lot different in a way, but in a way not. The fans, of course, were brutal. The fans down there, every documentary.
They'll throw cans of soda at your head. It's crazy.
They throw razor blades. At the concession stand, they serve them plastic Pepsi cups. They would get you drinking. They'd urinate in them. They'd throw on you. Everything was outside. Most of our shows were outside in the baseball field, so you had plenty of access to gravel. They fill them cups up full of gravel and throw them at you. We had to walk
spit?
Out to a tobacco spit. They would do that too, man. Yeah, that's glad you asked. That's the first time I ever mentioned tobacco spit. They would do that. And the first time I went over, they told me, do not fight up in the stands. If you're outside the ring, which was cool, the ring was mainly out in the middle of a baseball field. And so the audience was just one-sided, no chairs around the ring. The only time we had chairs around the ring was if we was in a gymnasium. And they would say, do not go up in the stands, do not go up in the stands. Of course, I didn't listen. I went up in the stands, didn't realize I had so much heat. You understand. Guy goes to stab me. I moved out of the way. Instead of him stabbing me, he hits my opponent. Of course, I'm sitting there freaking out, thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I just kind of roll with it. I grabbed the first chair I could see, hit the guy where he got stabbed at. Luckily, it was just a little slice on his arm, but we kind of headed on back down the stairway and went in the ring and took it home. But, and that's another transition I had to get around was wrestling out in the mud. It's not like here in the United States. Even though they're considered part of the United States. Here, if you're outside, they say if it's lightning, get in out indoors. There, it would be thunder, lightning, pouring down rain. We'd still be in the middle of that rain, you know, going on with the match. That's another transition I had to had to adapt there. But other than that, you know, hey, they treated me good. I was always told, I'm Dick Murdoch, late great Dick Murdoch, rest in peace. He was the booker at the time he brought me over there. He told me, respect these people. You know, you're a heel. They respect you, you know, and do what you got to do in the ring, but outside the ring, respect them. Respect them. That's what I did. I got respect. They respected me, and I respected them.
Was there ever a place you were scared to go to?
There was, you know what? There was a little, one of these little towns we go, it's called Caguas. We went there every week. And you had to go up through the village to get to the arena. These villages were up the mountain. And there was a place you had to walk from your car to the auditorium there. And it was kind of spooky. Sometimes them guys, I would always hear stories about, you know, these guys, these marks would hide out in the woods. You know, and wait for you to walk up there. And usually, most 99% of the time, we had secure, but sometimes we didn't. And because it was so crazy there. You know, you didn't go down to the barrio, the hood, as we call it here. You didn't go down there. You just kind of just stayed away. But yeah, that was one place I was kind of scared at. But after a while, you know, I mean, like I said, if you respect them, they respect you outside the ring, and it's awesome to them. I mean, you get to respect for them. So it just. I went over there 2 years after all this stuff happened to Brody. Nobody would go. That's where I left. And Eric Emery, he was booking in Tennessee and got me over there. And that's where I went for it. Nobody would go. The business was down because everything happened with Brody. But that's about one of the places I was scared. I kind of.
So, like,
yeah,
you look at. Sorry to cut you off. You look at the wrestling in 91, 92, like those years, early 90s, mid-90s, and now you kind of look at the product now. What's kind of something that was done right in the business in the 90s that's kind of not being done right now?
Kayfabe and getting color.
It's almost like it's dead. Like, kayfabe's dead, almost.
Kayfabe is dead. I've talked about this all the time. Certainly on my show, I asked my guests. I've asked people what I showed them kayfabe, and some guy in this locker room said, "What kind of sandwich is that?" You know, I kind of looked at him, and kind of all I could do is laugh. Because you know what these wrestlers nowadays, it's not like you got to get mad at them or nothing. They're not taught this, you know, like we were old school. They're not taught kayfabe is the first thing he was taught. You kayfabe your wives, you know. You kayfabe your girlfriends. We just kayfabe them. It's the first thing we've taught. That's the main thing. Number one thing nowadays is kayfabe. These great talent we got out there. Tremendous, man. I mean, the workers out there in the indie circus, I mean, you know, they're tremendous. They're just not caught kayfabe. That's the main thing that I see nowadays just by watching them on the social media, by interviewing them on my show. It's just not what they're taught is kayfabe. And everybody that was trained and brought up in my era of the business would just about agrees with me. Kayfabe, they don't have it no more. You know? And getting color, red makes green. Nobody bleeds no more. You know, getting busted open the hard way. Nobody does it anymore. It's just kind of, that's about the main thing. But like I said, main kayfabe is about the main thing, brother.
And you guys are listening to Cut the Promo podcast here on blogtalkradio.com/cutthepromo. The live portion of this program has about a minute left. However, we are going to do this interview, and the rest will be available. The rest will be available on a recording as well with the full show. So this the part after we're off the air in 30 seconds, you can be sure to listen to on demand. As we had another podcast here. We're going to try to get Matt Tremont on next week. I'll be in the works with that. But to have Pretty Boy Doug Masters on, it's great. So stay tuned after this. Refresh your browser and then download the full show to the full interview we're doing with Doug Masters. We're going to do this until we're off the air. So until they boot us off, at least. And then next week, I'm going to be more than happy to announce that we're going to go 1 hour long. And we're going to go from there, and we're going to get even bigger and bigger guests, and we're going to grow as a cohesive unit, because this is Cut the Promo podcast, and we stand out from every other wrestling podcast because we are one of the best wrestling podcasts, or at least we will be very shortly. So Yeah, Icon, go ahead with what you're going to follow up here with Doug Masters, and we'll go from there.
Well, like I was saying, we have Attitude Era Live's got a pretty big show coming up tomorrow. We have David Benoit, Chris Benoit's oldest son. We have Doug Balsh, and we have Byron Sherry, who was Coy Duke on the Dukes of Hazzard. We start at 9 p.m. tomorrow with Granny Hulkster and the Big Swing, and eventually Doug Masters will join us again. But and then maybe Jordan Garber can join us at some point as well.
I would love to join you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fine. Come on.
Tomorrow on my break.
We're good.
I have a 15-minute break. I'll do it.
All right, cool. We'd love to have you.
I'm the guy that just likes to get my face out there. Like, we have lots of shows here in Winnipeg, so I'll referee. I'll ref some shows. If there's a podcast on that I have an opportunity to be on, I'll be on it. If they want me to referee, announce, ring peer, anything, just to get my face out there, I'll do it, and I'll put in the work as well. So, you know, that's what it's about. And I think you could agree, Doug, that I think more people need to have an attitude about the business that you never stop paying your dues. I'll be 70, and I'll never stop paying them.
All right, bro, you never do stop paying your dues. It's cool. Alec Porto, that's a good friend of mine, has got that 2.0 pro wrestling school down in Florida. You know, he shot a deal on Facebook today saying showing his crew tearing down after a show. His students, they worked the show, they tore down, they put it up, tore down. I posted on there. It's good to see the business coming back, making the boys pay their dues. I mean, that was one part of it when you broke into the business. I know I did. Help put up, tear down. It was pretty cool. He posted that on there. So. And he's got a heck of a school down in, I believe it's Orlando. I don't know if it's Orlando. Don't get me wrong on that, but you can check him out on social media. You never stop paying your dues, brother, at all.
And, you know, speaking of paying dues, you know, there is a lot of guys. I shouldn't say a lot of guys, but there are guys out there that have paid their dues and don't get their just desserts. And there's guys out there that are getting just desserts that haven't paid their dues and don't deserve it. That's just my opinion.
Yes, sir.
But
I agree with you. I agree with you 110%. There is. It's sad.
I mean,
no,
here's a perfect example of that. Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns is a perfect example of that. I think they paid their dues, but they don't get their respect that they deserve.
Yeah.
Would you guys agree or disagree?
No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
No, I can agree with that as well.
You know, and a lot of people say that I'm just saying this because I don't like him, but tell me, what dues has Kevin Owens paid? What dues has Baron Corbin paid? They haven't. They haven't.
Boring Corbin.
Yeah.
I call him Boring Corbin. He makes me sleepy when I see him on TV.
Well, he just makes me want to throw up. But.
Well, that too. But
there
you
go.
I just.
So we have 11 minutes left on this recording. Matt's gonna try to call back in right now. That way we can have an exclusive interview with him. If not, we're going to bring him on sometime later in June, but we'll see if we can call back in here, and you can listen to an exclusive interview with Matt Tremont. However, I do want to announce that I did do an interview taping with none other than Dalton Castle from Ring of Honor, and he's going to be on the program next week. We're going to bring him on. You're going to listen to the interview that I did with him when he was in Winnipeg. And he, you know, shocked the world. He made his Winnipeg debut, and I couldn't say shocked the world, but he shocked Premier Championship Wrestling, so to say. Just keep getting updates here. No surprise, error from Blog Talk Radio on the Matt Tremont interview. So we're going to postpone that till June, but I'm going to be getting a taping up with him shortly. That interview is still guaranteed on our program. So we have 10 minutes, guys. We're going to keep going until we're kicked off. So you have your podcast tomorrow. I'm sure you guys are back, ready to be back on next Sunday. And Doug, you're more than happy to join in as well. I think it's a perfect panel to have us four on the air for sure. But looking in a nutshell here, what are some of your favorite, like, you know, wrestling? I always say this to my friends, you know, wrestling in the 80s was the greatest era. Wrestling in the 90s was the greatest era, not just because of what happened in the ring, but the lifestyle outside of it. Now, I remember viewing Honky Tonk Man. He'd sit there, he'd drink a six pack in an interview when we were supposed to go 6 minutes, and he drank a six pack in 6 minutes. Can you share some funny memories and just some good old stories with the boys, if you want, that is, about some of the good old days?
Oh, I get to. This is my favorite part of the business right here. Get some stories about his, that's the part paying you dues too. A six pack, that's a beer a minute. Man, he's kind of.
Have you drank with him before? It's insane.
Honky Tonk, Wayne Fair. Oh, have I? Yeah. I think I've drank a beer with every one of the boys out there. No, but they had to twist my arm or nothing, you know, to do it. So, Honky Tonk, yeah, on occasion. Yeah, on occasion, yeah. Long, like I said, but getting back to Wayne, you know, he started out in USWA in the Tennessee territory. And like I said, that was a long state. And you had to do something on the way back. You know, it was like, you know, 2-hour trip. Shoot, time you got home, you didn't have to. The bars were already closed. You didn't have to worry about closing them down. They was already had a good buzz pretty well going the time you got back to town that night. But a story, I'll tell you a funny story. I was working in Portland, Oregon, and back in the 80s, I don't know, 90s sometime, I forgot on the greatest promoters of all time, one of them. Me and Lynn Dent, the grappler, we did TV on every Saturday night and then air that same night at 11 o'clock. We pulled to the gas station on the Alda Sports Arena there to pick up a six-pack and head out to the club that night where we always went. The Drum, it's called the time. We went after the show and stuff and watched the show on TV. And we got the car, and we're in there pumping. We're out there pumping gas. The girlfriend of mine, the time I had, was out there just doing whatever she was doing. Well, we come back out, and these three guys, man, that seen us off TV, we had some good heat there, and they were just going crazy ballistic on us. Wouldn't let us back in the car. We're doing this and that. And finally, we just snuck. Yeah, they would, brother. They just kind of snugged up to us and everything. They were three Afro-American guys, and they were big guys, man. And me and Lenny's like looking at each other like, man, what's going to go on here? So we said, well, let's go. They wouldn't let us in the car. She finally gets out of the car, goes into the store. We go back into the store. We're thinking, okay, we're going to the store, call the law and shit. Like, we go in the store, the guy that has the convenience store locks the door, but we couldn't get back in there. He's scared. Well, it's wintertime, and I know if you're familiar, I'm sure you guys are, with these gooseneck, you got them gooseneck coats and them gooseneck vests and everything. Well, these guys, I don't know if there's the Crips and Bloods and part of a gang, I don't know that. They took their belts off and starts whipping us with them, right? Me and Lenny. Well, they're whipping Lenny so hard, the belts are hitting his vest, and the goose feathers are flying off of it. You know, you just got to picture it out there. It's the middle of the night. It's about 40 degrees, and there's goose feathers flying off this guy's vest he had on. So, and I had, Al's former wear gave me a tux to wear every week with the, for my, because I was a co-host up on the show. They gave me a tux to wear every week, and he'd hit me a couple times. I had blood all over the tux, and needless to say, they didn't give me a tux no more, but it was just funny. And finally, the law came up there and everything, and they said, well, you know which one did this? I said, well, whichever one looked like Arsenio Hall did it. Cause, you know, they all looked like the time was getting whipped pretty bad, but that's one funny story. Another good story was when we was in Puerto Rico one time, and me and Akbar was down there managing me at the time, and we got good heat, of course. We go out to get in the car, and then the marks had turned over our rental car and set it on fire, you know, and I kind of looked at that.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah, that's they fuck. Did, brother. And he looked at me like, I guess we got to change a different company now. And I'm like, what? He acts like it was nothing.
But in a way, it kind of makes you feel like you were doing your job right as a heel, because if you're getting the crowd that mad that they're gonna, you made them go insane, and that's all through, you know, psychology. And that kind of shows who is good or not in the 90s and the 80s. Because if you're over as the babyface or the heel, like Greg Gagne, he always got like such great babyface. He had great reactions all the time, people cheering and everything. And then the heels, like if you guys go through that, then obviously you guys know how to work. You guys are good heels. Am I correct?
You're correct. You're 110% correct. And then it's funny, but it was just funny looking at Axe, and he goes, "Well, babe, I guess we're going to have to find another company to get rent a car from." You know, I don't know which one. It was just funny. Like, it was nothing, you know. But it snuck as an ambulance, got us back to the motel, and everything's fine. But that's just kind of a funny story. A couple on top of my head. Most of them, well, I don't remember most of them. Some of them I do remember. Well, I told the strength that one time, after about 10 minutes, she was laying on the couch. So that's why I get a check every month. So put it that way.
Well, you know,
get a good time.
The other question I had, When you were out on the road and traveling and everything, you guys had to book your own flights and hotels and everything. They didn't have a front office staff do that for you, correct?
Correct. Oh, yeah, we had to do that, man. We had to, and it's funny, I'd book our motels, our own flights. They would tell us where we was going to be at. But see, back then there was territory, so it wasn't like you had to be in Oklahoma tonight and – Well, just like WFD, they're going to be in Tulsa, I think, next week. And then they'll do the loop. Back then, it was territories. We went to, let's say, the Tennessee territory. We just drove around there. Most territories we just drove back then. But nowadays, when Vince comes to town, he'll book. We're going to run Oklahoma. He'll do Oklahoma, Texas, where you have to fly. And they have all that stuff taken care of them now. They do their own. They just show up with a booking sheet. They show where you're gonna be at, your tickets, all this and that. So it's a lot different than it was back then. It took them a long time.
Well, was there ever a time on a road when when you're getting your own hotels and rental cars and everything and all that? Was there ever a time when you couldn't find a hotel and you had to sleep in the car? Did that ever happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times that would happen. You know, they would book our shows in these towns at the fairs or like a holiday weekend, like this weekend, where everybody's traveling. And, they'd already have the motels booked, because, of course, we didn't book them in advance. Because we didn't know, but a couple of days ahead of time where we was going to be staying at or what town we was going to back then. Yeah, we'd had to sleep in the cars. Or if we found out they were booked, the promoter might put it up, or some of the local boys there that night might put it up for the night and everything. But, yeah, we got used to living in a motor. You know, when you're paying your dues starting out back then, you got used to sleeping in your cars on the rest area on the side of the interstate. You got to be natural. That's why a lot of them had vans back then, like Piper. And they had a van he lived in. Eric Embry, I had a little motor home he lived in, and he just parked it at a rest area, and that was his house. So.
Now, did you guys ever go ahead, George.
Yeah, pretty much, Icon. We do have a minute left in the final overall recording of the archive. So finish what you're going to say, and then let's all plug what we can. And then we'll post an update for next week's show on social media.
All right, Attitude Era Live every Monday night, 9 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. 3 guests every week, Granny Honkster and Big Swing and the Icon. Check us out.
Awesome. Doug,
yes,
you got the plug.
Pretty Boy Doug Masters is alive for being a professional wrestler every Friday night, 7 p.m. Central Time on actionvr.com network. Every Friday night,
awesome.
7 p.m. Central Time.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter.
Promotion.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Jordan.
Let's say
wrestling
what?
With a cause. Plug wrestling with a cause.
Oh, wrestling for a cause? Yeah, we've got a Ryder Cup show coming up in June 14th and 15th in Owosso, Oklahoma. This is the second year for the two. It used to be, this has been going on since 2011, but last year was the first year they did a two-day event for the Ryder Cup Memorial Show. This is the second year for the two-day event.